Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. Tonight, as of the closing bell, this is from CNBC, and it's talked about this, in the closing bell of Friday, Nike is down $4 billion. Because they were warned that they took... See, people don't realize this. Every person that comes out that they're anti-Trump, they tank. I wouldn't care if I was against Trump, I would come out in support of him just because I know everything's going to go up. But, you know, they're warned of what was going to happen if they took Colin Kaepernick as their poster boy. And, of course, just like that city in Virginia, you know, that said, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, we don't want you in the restaurant. She is not gone back, and that city is tanking. That Virginia city is tanking. They're having to go into the reserves. Why? Because of their belief. Just like that guy that ripped the Make America Great hat off the kid and splashed water and did all that stuff to him. He's facing assault charges. I want to get into also, as you know, the Aretha Franklin's family is going nuts because of the eulogy that was given by the pastor. What was the ceremony, like 9 hours? She had like 25, like, outfit changes, and I know, Sheree, but I'm just, you know.
I have never heard of wardrobe changes, and we are born of the sea.
Yeah, I mean, my mom always tells me, she goes, hang out with me now and spend time with me now. Don't wait till I'm dead to try to come to a grave and mourn me. You know, that's what I was doing. I mean, because I've never heard of, like, outfit changes and makeup changes and all this.
I was 7 years old, and outfit guy. Saw it in the paper how much the funeral was. And this is as cheap as I was then. I asked my mom what that was, and she said, that's how much this funeral cost. I said, I ain't paying that much for your funeral. I'm going to dig a hole and put you in the backyard.
Yep. And NASA also claims that sending humans back to the moon will not require a big Apollo-style budget. That's if you believe, because there are people, my brother believes it. A lot of people don't believe it, but I do. And in fact, they've had several documentaries, like 3 or 4, that they've proven that they went, and this is how they can show you that, okay, that they did and all this stuff. But also I want to get into the fact that it's hard to believe that, you know, we have Kavanaugh being investigated going through all the procedures as a liberal called being investigated, because he's going to be a Supreme Court justice who wants to go by the books, not by, well, I interpret this law. I'm going to make up my own laws and say, hey, we have a Second Amendment right. We're allowed to carry firearms, you know. And there's like, what is it, like 65 to 70 protesters arrested and all this stuff? But last I heard, 70. It was like 65 to 70. So it's crazy. And he's given up more documentation about who he is and what he stands for than any other Supreme Court nominee. And there's still, there's no fair. Obama could run for Supreme Court justice and have one piece of paper and they say that's sufficient. But I want to get into that and much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of, folks. Oh, wow. What a conversation. Revelation chapter 3 says, we serve a God that opens doors that no one can shut, and he shuts doors that no one can open. And behold, I place for you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have a little strength, but you've kept my word not denied my name. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And as many of you know and heard, Nike has taken on as its spokesperson for an ad, Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, there's been lots of talk about it and this and that. And they've lost $4 billion since the closing markets on Friday, since they have unveiled the fact that they're going to use Kaepernick, and people are burning the shoes and all kinds of stuff. And I'm one of those people, why don't they donate those instead of, you know, giving the, okay, if you support Colin Kaepernick, here, you take the shoes. I won't wear them. You take them. Give them to someone that can use them. I mean, I know they're trying to burn them and do all this stuff, and, you know, I know they're protesting, and I know all that stuff's going on, but it's kind of like John McCain, I guess. You know, he had, like, no one liked him until he died, and then as soon as he died, oh, all these liberals were magically at the funeral. You know, it's like, I could respect Colin Kaepernick if he would have came up and said, hey, I have a great life, and I have a great family for it. But here's the thing. There's a lot of people, white, black, Native American, Asian, have the same income and the same equality as I do, and I want to help do stuff in my community as well as other communities to help these kids out and give back so that they can have the opportunities I have. No, what did he do? He pulled down his pants and damn near took a dump on our nation, kneeling for the American flag and the national anthem. Now, that to me, I can't get behind him. I could get behind him if he said, hey, look at the life I have. Look at the life I have. A lot of people don't have the life I have, and I want to make sure they have that opportunity. You know, we're showing our things with our money. While we can, we're saying, okay, we're not going to buy from Nike. We're not going to buy from this company. We're not going to go there. I mean, and I've said this before in the program, there is going to be a time when, okay, if you don't like what this restaurant stands for, well, the parent company owns these 25 restaurants. No, it actually owns 50 restaurants, so you can't eat in any of these 50 because all the money's going to go to the same parent company. Either way. You know, I mean, like, not many people know this, and I worked with a guy that was at a Super Bowl, and he has a hat from the losing team. He took it as a memento. He threw me this hat, and I'm like, they didn't win the Super Bowl. I know. He goes, they make a bunch of hats and shirts and all kinds of stuff for both teams so they can throw them out and hand them out to people and they can have for the team.
How do you think they have it right after they win?
And the team that loses, a lot of that stuff's gone to third world countries, and so that they can have a hat or a shirt. I mean, as soon as that team wins, they have a button, okay? As soon as that team wins, there's subscribe to SIA, and you can get the New England Patriots Super Bowl 25 football helmet. That's right, with your subscription to SI. And like as soon as the Super Bowl's over, they have a commercial, Aaron, that is, get your New England Patriots football, because as soon as the team wins, they're printing off tons of stuff. And they have multiple things. Okay, well, if they win, they got to set up for this. If they win, they got to set up for that team. But people are spending with their money. And when he did what he did, there are people that are done with the NFL. I was pretty much done when they went after Colin Kaepernick for being a Christian. And one of my, a friend of mine, he's like, well, he goes, well, he who is without sin, may he who is without the, he who is without sin, may he throw the first stone. And I'm like, I'm far from the man without sin, you know, I ain't throwing the stone. The only perfect person is God or Jesus, you know. And I said, and then I put underneath it, and the second comment I said, well, I should have just said, Jesus, you're up. No, it's Charles.
Yeah, I don't call them the way they talk to me. I don't call them.
I have a lot of people that do that, but we agree upon everything but politics. See, my wife doesn't get that. I have friends that I'm real close with that will agree upon everything, but we'll fight to the death. Well, then I would lose about 3/4 of my friends, because 3/4 of the people I'm friends with are liberals. And that's how, other than politics, we get along with everything else. My wife doesn't understand that. I mean, I don't know if my wife has actual friends that they agree with everything, but because I have a lot of friends that we agree on a lot of things, but when it comes to politics, we just agree to disagree because we're never going to agree. We'll fight to the death when it comes to politics, but other than that, because I have some friends from England that when it comes to politics, they believe in a king and queen, and they believe in having government run everything, and government hospitals, and government everything. Government should control it all. And I'm like, okay, I want to have freedom. I don't want to have the government tell me when I can crap, when I can do whatever. Yeah, we don't. But that's how this whole works. I mean, we're not all going to agree, and well, I'm not going to have the same beliefs. I mean, just like some people might say, oh, I don't think they did enough for Aretha Franklin. I mean, like, I would hate to be the guy that was the... Oh, I know. The embalmer guy. Embalmo the clown. You know, at the casket carnival, you won't lose your shirt. It's a Bob and Tom skit, and it's hilarious. But, I mean, maybe there's someone out there that thinks, oh, they didn't do enough. They should have had like 6 outfit changes, and they should have done all this stuff, and they should have had someone, they should have had her up on stage, you know, with like a guy with hand puppets, and, you know.
I had a client, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston. I don't know any person. Elvis Presley. I don't know any of them who had as much as she did. That all the wardrobe changes and all that stuff.
What I'm getting at is maybe someone out there thinks it's justified and warranted. I don't. I don't understand it. You know. But that's me though. I don't get it. I mean. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I need to have 25 outfit changes when I die. I have to do 4 because I got a one-upper. But I can't say that because that's racist. So, you know. I don't know. But with this, I want to get into this Brett Kavanaugh hearing because this is just, I mean, there is so much BS with all these people that are protesting. See, they want to have someone, because they think as soon as he gets in, there goes their reproductive rights. There goes their right to kill a baby. There goes Roe v. Wade. There goes all this stuff, because they have the right, maybe, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, like, what if that's, I mean, sorry if we're going to have a Supreme Court justice that's not going to say, well, yeah, because I know you claim the Second Amendment right really doesn't give you the right to bear arms. I don't know if you know that, Melissa. It really doesn't give you the right to bear arms. It gives you the right to bear a muzzle-loading rifle back in the 1800s, but, you know, that's kind of obsolete. No one carries it anymore, so you know what? You know what's really relevant to the. You know what's the most relevant book today? the Bible. And how old is that? 2,000 years old? So you're going to tell me that a 200-plus-year-old document, the Constitution, is not relevant? The Constitution was designed, and the Second Amendment was designed, so we don't have a government controlling us. I want to get in. I got to get into this, because I'm not going to mention the name, because I don't even know the guy's name. But I have. It's sometimes hard to get to church. So I once in a while want to put on like a Christian channel so I can watch some, you know, like TBN or one of those to get some scripture and get some Bible stuff and kind of go to services and stuff, whatever the case, you know, whether it's daily mass or whatever. And there was a guy on there, and I don't want the, I never, ever, ever, and I know I'm going to get misquoted here, but I don't want the government to ever control a church and tell them what they can do with their money, what they can do, you know, whatever the case may be, okay? But this guy's like, I know a lot of you people out there today don't have the $500 to send in, or it's like, it was either $500 or $5,000 or something. You know, some of you are going to have to do that in payments. But when you send, when you start those payments to that, like, $5,000, I think it was, you will be having a blessing. I will be able to bring a blessing onto you and be able to pass a blessing onto you. And I'm like, I just, it just turned me off when he's like, you know, well, if you want to have the Lord bless you, you need to give money to me. See, I can send you a blessing. I can send you, and I'm like, why can't you talk about the Bible and the scriptures and do stuff without, okay, well, yeah, I can help you. We can pray for you. It says $1.99 a minute. That's how it felt to me, like, 1909, prayer. We will, you give us money and we'll pray for you. Yeah, for just $49, we'll forgive your sins. No, God forgives your sins. And it just turns me off. I don't want the government to tell a church what they can and cannot preach about, or what they can and cannot do with their money, or what they can or cannot say. But I was just turned off by that. I don't know if I'm wrong, but I just want to hear like scriptures. I mean, if anyone thinks I'm wrong, you know, when I'm going to hear it, it's kind of like when I was doing these like what are they called, surveys to try to get stuff for money, so I could get some money. And it went from, like, being able to do surveys to, oh, if you spend $50, you can get 2,000 points. Well, no, I don't have money to spend. I'm trying to make money. I don't know. And it just, I don't know. And it's like, and it just turned me off, so I switched the channel. Wow. I don't know. Moving on, though. But I want to get back now to the Kavanaugh thing, because, I mean, we live in this world where people just want to prejudge everything. Well, I know he's going to do this. He's, you know. And it's like, we finally got someone I think is going to be middle of the road, that's going to say what he wants, do what's right for the country. You know, this is the law. This is how it's interpreted. There you go. Not, well, I'm going to, this is not right, you know. Because there's a lot of people that I feel that look at him and are just like, well, this is what's going to happen. This is where we're at. And you're going to go from there. And I don't, you know, and well, like a lot of these liberal judges we have, where they know, see, it's not right. Show me in the Constitution where we can ban anyone from this country. You know, these travel bans are not right. Well, they were when Obama was president. They were when Bush and Clinton were. You know, it's just one of those things. Where it's like, oh, well, you know, this guy is someone that's okay, this is the rule, this is the law, there you go. He's one of those people, like I always joke, like, okay, take a can of gasoline. I know what's going to happen if you throw a match at the gasoline can. It's going to explode. You know what's going to happen. If you read this, read what's going on, this is what you did. This is how you violated this law. I know you're trying to interpret it this way, but this is how the law is written. This is what it says, and so many people, I don't think, get that. I don't think, you know, we can't be having someone that just, well, this is how I interpret the law. No. You either have the right to bear arms or you don't. That's not what it really doesn't mean. What it really means when it says the right to bear arms is, you know, you have the right to a muzzle loader. That's, you know, and this stuff that, you know, it was designed back in the time. You know, we don't really need, no. The whole point of having guns is to keep us from a ever-controlling government. You know, why did we have the Second Amendment? So that we could protect ourselves against the British. Not like the Premier League as much as anybody. But we got away from government controlling everything for a reason, because we wanted to be free. You can tell the one side from the other very easily, because you have the one side that will one week say, well, they're trying to push Christianity down our throat, and then the same people are saying that the guy that's pushing Christianity down our throat is a guy that they're calling Hitler, who tried to stop Christianity and tried to stop Judaism. Now imagine if that was Obama and he was trying to appoint somebody from the Supreme Court or whatever. The liberals would go ballistic if we were interrupting them. One person, I forget who it was, but yeah, they didn't. He didn't get selected.
Okay. And, you know, they're all in arms with stuff about Trump not being going to McCain's funeral. He wasn't invited. Obama was invited to Scalia's.
And didn't go.
He went golfing.
Yeah.
Now, what does that say?
Yeah. That's the hypocrisy here. He was not invited to Trump's. Trump was not invited to McCain's funeral. He wasn't invited. Sarah Palin wasn't invited. But, I mean,
what they don't say, though, is that Trump okayed all everything. Like the airplane using for his casket, which we paid for.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, no, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, that's Obama for you. You don't care. You know, so that's the liberal media for you. You know, oh, well, Trump didn't go to John McCain's funeral. Well, he wasn't invited. And they'll brag 4 days before that, can you believe McCain doesn't want Trump at the funeral?
Oh, they were having a field day. They loved it. They're having orgasms after orgasms.
If I would have been on that, I would have loved to have been on that. I said, well, so why is all of a sudden all these people that hated McCain now praising him at his funeral?
Yeah.
Oh, so let me get this straight. Is it sort of like Obama when he said Hillary will say anything to get elected when he's running against her, but then when she's running for president, oh, she's great. She's wonderful. She'll make a great president.
Or like when Michelle said, if you can't control your house, how can you control the White House? Son, my house. But Willie was having his affairs.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, when Hillary was running, Miss Obama was, you know, she was the best thing since sliced bread, Miss
mm-hmm.
Hillary was.
Yeah.
Whatever. Stay on your plantation.
Ow. Yeah, quit monkeying up this country there, you liberal.
Yeah.
And I said liberals. I didn't say... I didn't say... a specific gender of color. That's a joke. That's my joke for tonight, folks. But I'm not going to pronounce this now. I'm just going to spell the name. It reminds me of like when Cartman always goes, "What's the heck of a thing?" It is J-A-L-A-L-U-D-D-I-N. Jaladin Hajinah, he is an ex-U.S. ally who funded the militant Hajinaki network in Afghanistan in the 70s. It's like a militant group, and a report from the Taliban says that he has died after a long illness. So we're going to give a hip hip hooray for him. Hip hip hooray! One more gun. One more of these people that, oh, we need to kill thousands of people in order to bring Jesus here. We need to have mass chaos. We need to blow up whole earth and then God will come. Well, where is he going to go? There's no earth. I don't know. These people are... It's just sad, you know, that like they go this long and spread all this stuff. But, you know, it's nice to see that slowly these people, these Taliban and Al-Qaeda networks, and that group is associated with them. It's incredible, and it's nice to see that some of these evil people are finally going to the wayside. It's really nice. And it's really nice to see finally some of the evil, evil people put down and taken out. I don't know if you heard this one. This is incredible, but I'm going to move on because, again, and I'm talking about this, and the media's bringing this up because, you know, because there are all these people that say that there's like 4 million, all these kids are the reason why we shouldn't have guns and all this stuff, and with all the school shootings, and, you know, and we're bringing this up because Detroit and Chicago have some of the strictest gun laws, and guess what, folks? Violence erupted over the weekend in Chicago that left 6 dead and 23 people injured. Just in time for Rahm Emanuel to announce that he will not seek re-election. Gee, I wonder why he's not seeking re-election. Maybe because where he is, maybe the city that he is mayoring and governing is falling apart? Because he wants to harbor all these illegals and wants to ban guns and ban everything? Don't worry, California actually wants to have areas where you can legally use illegal drugs. Legally use illegal drugs with people there to supervise to ensure that you don't overdose and they can help you if you do. How does that make sense? Yeah, can I have like a legal spot to smoke illegal pot? Yeah, I need to ask for that in Indiana. I want to have a legal spot to smoke illegal pot with, like, people there to, like, make sure my buzz goes well and I get my pain relief and my nausea goes away and I have no spasms and all that. Why not? In California, they want to have legal spots to shoot up. And I could see that to a point, okay? In terms of why not do what they've done in some country? There's a country where they legalized heroin and it's free. You go to a clinic. And guess what? The usage is plummeting because the only way you can get the heroin is going to this free clinic. You can't sell it on the street. You can't deal it. You can't get all you. And when you go to this clinic, they give it to you. It's in a syringe that's brand new. Usage is plummeting because not many people are like, hey, let's go to the free clinic and shoot up. I mean, we've gotten cigarette smoking down because of education. Why don't we get drugs down by education? I mean, drugs won the war on drugs. I mean, since you really cannot keep drugs out of, since drugs are found in solitary confinement in prisons, I mean, but I mean, make it to where, okay, the stuff that they're using is a government-produced, highly regulated product, and maybe you can put stuff in there, maybe you can get them help and try to get at least 10% of the people help that actually quit. Not that it's going to, not that you're going to have, like, I mean, you're still going to have a lot of people that's still 90% that will never have the treatment they need, I mean, or will help. I want to help everybody, but, I mean, get it out of the hands of the cartels. But right now, they're just having like if I go to Melissa, just hypothetically, and I buy heroin from her, then I go to this area that's now legal just to shoot up so that someone can be there in case I, it's not like they're providing it and they're monitoring and they're giving you a specific dose and, you know, it's not regulated. You could sit there and you could end up, someone could have sold you Drano and you inject it into your body. I mean, to me, it's just more wasted policies. It's not like I'm going to shoot up heroin just because it becomes legal. I mean, I know people that, because of things they've done in the past, are afraid to take prescription meds, period. One of my buddies took an Adderall and had major problems, major side effects, to where now he won't even take, he'll call his doctor, ask him if he can take a Tylenol. He's got paranoid.
I get that.
And that, you know,
someone who goes through that understands.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. People, and I put a post today that, you know, you don't understand the pain you're going through until it happens to you. It's called karma. And that's what, you know, and that's what we're, the grand scheme of things and the grand picture is, if you legalize it all, you need to educate people. You need to say, hey, yeah, we're going to legalize cocaine. It doesn't mean it's safe. Gasoline is legal, but are you going to drink it? No. Why not? Well, I've heard there's a new, that's going to be, that should be the newest. Well, the newest anti-Trump protest thing is where, you know, if you truly don't support Trump, you jump out of a plane without a parachute. And the more you hate Trump and the more daring you are, the higher the plane is. They're going around, okay? And I'm absolving myself of all deaths from anyone that tries that, because it's like, there are people, like in Hazleton, they're having like streets blocked and marches and all this stuff. And, you know, with these Dominican Republic people and all this stuff. And this is what I, like there was a post that there were people that were blocking the streets and all this stuff and blocking the highway. And I'm like, if I was a semi driver, I'd just maul them right over those protesters. And my mom today was like, you can't do that. I'm like, well, it's called thinning of the herd. See, we have these out, they're geese or whatever, they bring them here, and then, oh, you can't do anything to these damn geese, and then they quadruple multiply, and then you get like 50 million of them, and they're in the road and everything, and everybody stops because they don't want to hit these little geese, birds, or whatever the heck they're, I don't know what they're, I'm not a bird person, so I don't know what these, they're like geese things, they're like geese. But everyone stops. and they wonder why the birds don't move. And then they sit there, because we have them where I work, too. And there are people, man, it took me forever to get in there because them damn geese. I'm like, well, did you just go? No, they were in the road. I'm like, well, did you just go? I can't, they're in the road. I'm like, yeah, that's your problem. They're not going to move if you stop. They're just going to stare at you. If you move, they are smart enough, because they're intelligent, to get out of the way. If those people are protesting in the streets, you just keep going, and the smart people will get out of the way. The dumb ones deserve what they get, run over. Then the gene pool. The educated ones will be smart enough to get the heck out of the way. The ones that aren't, well, you get what's coming to you. And I remember one time on a post on one of those, there must have been like 10,000 people that said, if I was there, I'd just kept going. If I run them over, I run them over. If they're not smart enough to get out of the road, then that's their problem. And somebody posted that, and it had like 5,000 likes, and there was like 1,000 people that commented, and they're like, yep, I'd do the same thing, yep. And as many of you know, I didn't even have a chance to look this up, but you don't hear much about it because since Jerry Lewis no longer does the telethon and it's, you know, it's not that 24-hour thing, you don't really, because I remember they used to have like a local thing here and you could go to Chicago and they had a local thing and it was great. And now you hardly hear about it. And the only reason I know about it is because I deal with muscular disease and, you know, I donate. I put money in the fire boot. And I want to thank my wife for donating to the firemen and one of her people, because that hopefully that'll help us find a cure. And, you know, I was talking about this to somebody from my support group, and he's one of those people kind of like I do. I kind of believe this in a way. Like, if you look at the Susan G. Komen Foundation, how they, like, only 26 cents out of every dollar goes to research, and do they really want a cure? Because they make so much more money off of treatments and cures, just like diabetes. I think my sister pays, like, $3,000 a month just in diabetic testing supplies. And why would they want a cure? That's a lot of money. They would lose that money. And I told you that, and it's in one of my old conversations, you can listen back, about the when me and my mom were in a Target way back in the day in the pharmacy section in our grocery store or something. That's when they had the insulin in the fridge and you just got it. You didn't have to have a script for it. And, you know, and the guy's like, hey, they'll never find a cure. And my mom's like, they need to with what I spend a month. And he goes, yeah, with what you and I spend a month, why would they ever want to cure? There's billions of dollars to be made every day. You know, and me and somebody was talking about that. And I'm like, but I want to have, you know, I think they genuinely want to find, I mean, because you got to understand, for a lot of us, all we can be identified as having is a myopathy. We can't be identified further. And we just have to kind of hunt and peck and, okay, well, and just kind of, what are our symptoms, what, and just kind of guess at treatments with our doctor. Whether it's my regular doctor or it's my muscular dystrophy doctor or whatever the case may be. And I'm open about what I deal with my muscle issues. Some people, you know, I am who I am, you know. I want awareness to be out there, because there's many people like me that if you look at me, you would never know that I have an issue. You would never know I have a problem. I've had people, like one person one time goes, well, you have to have a disability placard to be here. I'm like, so they don't allow plates? Excuse me? I said, yeah, I've got a disability license plate. Okay. They're not allowed? You have to have a placard? Oh, well, you can't use your parents' car. I said, this is my car. That's my placard. That's my license plate. And I said, I'm not at liberty to talk to you or discuss to you what I deal with. If you want to get a police officer here and confirm that that's my car, go right ahead. But I'm not going to tell you why I need that placard or whatever. And I had one person, because some of the places have like a, you know, van accessibility at the bottom of it. And we're sitting there and, well, that you can't park, that's for van accessibility. And I said, well, there's one place that I shop at that every single salt there handicap sign underneath is van accessibility only, or van accessibility or whatever. So does that mean that no one can park there unless you got a van, no matter what your placard? I mean, if you got a license plate that's a disability plate, you can't park there because it's not a van? So, I mean, I understand. But it's kind of like, I feel like since Jerry doesn't do the telephone anymore, there's not that big publicity. It's not like as big as it used to be.
You don't hear about it,
hardly. Yeah, you don't. He was huge and instrumental in getting it out there. And every year I watched it. Like when he did the I'll Never Walk Alone, I lost it because he was an inspiration to many of us. I'm his kid. Just like Gene Katie, the Purdue basketball coach, I'm one of his kids. And it's just amazing that, and hopefully someday I'll have one. I mean, I just hope for better testing than where maybe they can say, okay, this is 100% definitively what we've got. Then, and even then, they might say, okay, yep, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's, because I had a doctor that told me that if they could cure me, they could cure anything because I have to have big, I would need gene splicing. And if you could do that, you wouldn't have Down syndrome because all you have to do is just add this gene, boom. No more retarded people, no more Down syndrome, no more fibromyalgia, no more this, no more nothing.
I could be taller.
Yeah.
No more missing
function. Yeah. They would just, but, and that's what he goes, honestly, he goes, that's what I, because when I was first being diagnosed and stuff, some people, doctors, a lot of myopathies, if they get a patient, they like to look into it because there's a lot that's misunderstood. And he goes, I honestly believe that's what I think you would need is to, because your body doesn't do what it's supposed to. But, yeah, I wanted to get that in there. Well, to many of you, it'd be a dream to go to infinity and beyond. Some of you, it'd just be cool to go to the moon. And going to the moon won't break the bank, NASA chief says now. Well, see, well, I've heard people that say that going up to, like when the space shuttle, Columbia or Challenger, those type of aircrafts to go up into space, NASA has, they have technology that could get people into space 100 times better than that. But if they do, then it would say, where did they get that technology? And what, you know, I mean, I guess I'm one of those people that think about it like this. From the day Jesus was crucified till 1900, technological leap. In the last 118 years, we have gone massively in a technological leap. How did that happen? If it didn't happen those thousands of years prior up to this point. And there's some people that say, whether you believe it or not, that like NASA has the technology and the military to go up to the, like, okay, the space shuttle Challenger is like a horse and buggy compared to a Ferrari. NASA could use a Ferrari to get into space, but they won't because then people will say, well, where'd you get this technology? How'd you get up here? It went up into space with where's the flame? Where's the fuel? Was it? Wait a minute. You know, just like imagine taking a Chevy Volt, an electric car, and taking it and giving it to pull the kid. He would crap his, what the heck? He wouldn't know what to think. But they say that they can get up there more efficiently, this and that. But then there's the question, if they even went in the first place, why didn't they ever go back unless it was way too costly and spent too much money? But I'm sure you can tell if they go back, because I'm sure on Earth you can get a telescope to look at the moon to be able to see the remnants of them being up there. I believe we went up there, and I believe it would come. I believe it could come back. I believe they could go back. Got about 14 minutes left in the program, folks. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Did you hear about that 100-year-old World War II vet that jumped from a plane? Wow. That's a brave guy, man. I had a guy at work that wanted to jump out of a plane with me. I'm like, well, first of all, how do you know we're going to be in a plane together? And secondly, how do you know that that plane is going to be going down? Because you know what a parachute's designed for. That plane's going down, and you're not going to live, and you're going to jump out of the plane with a parachute, hoping that you survive that. That see, a parachute is like a life vest. Hopefully you only need it when the boat is sinking. Hopefully you only need a parachute when the plane's going down. These people that jump out of a, I don't know. Granted, I'm afraid of heights. I just don't do. So like one of my friends that used to do that 10-meter platform. I'm like, I can get into the water a lot faster than doing a handstand on a 10-meter platform and doing 3 somersaults into the water. You know, I can just jump in from the side. It's a lot safer. And, of course, she's always like, you know what? It can be painful. When you dive, yeah, even if you do a very, very clean dive, it can still be painful. It can still be, you're still sore when you're done. All of us is the guy that jumped out of the plane, and it's just, he was in tandem. He didn't go alone, so don't worry. He went with somebody. But that's just, I think it's kind of cool that he did that. And I don't know if I can do that, but Melissa, could you jump out of a plane?
Yep.
Yeah, no. Now, I
to the end. I like my feet on the ground wherever. If I fall, I am not that far away.
Yeah. I could jump out of a plane if I have to for survival if it's going down, but then I'd be like, crap my brains. And I would want it to be one of those hooked to a table. Huh? So you could see me going down with a plane?
Yes.
With the captain going, Mrs. Your captain faking smoke him if you got him, rah, rah, rah. I got a case of, I got a carton of Camel non-filters, I'll see you on the ground. That's my envision here. Because you know that's what's going to happen, folks. See, when the plane's going down in the cabin, they have a, they have a reserve of Camel non filters if they hit the button. Open only when going down. I've been on a plane. I've seen the carton up there. Wow. But nah, that's just a joke, folks. But still, I don't know what I do. Well, I've been backpacking, and it's amazing what you will eat if you have to and you're starving. It's amazing what you will consider eating when you go foraging for plants and shrooms and stuff that are edible. It's amazing what you will eat if it means survival. I've had to do it before. I'm not a raw mushroom fan, but when I know this is an edible varietal and I'm starving, I've eaten it. I want to get into this, folks. So I want to get into some Premier League news. Holy cow. As many of you know, we are saved again because Manchester United has won. They beat Burnley 2-0. And everyone's like, I'm not. And everyone's like, well, what do you think they won? I didn't expect them to beat Burnley. I really didn't. But what I see with the team and what I get at with this team is we need to have about 4 or 5 wins in a row for me to be confident with the team. Because right now, oh, here we go. Are we going to do this up and down where, okay, wow, basically a relegation zone team, we lose two, but we beat a top four team? Are we going to go back and forth? I mean, because there are times where I felt like, okay, Mourinho's saying what he needs to say. He's doing the right things. And then it goes right back to old, same old Jose. I think he's going to do just enough to keep us up and down, to keep us to where they're not going to get rid of him. And if he leaves, he leaves. If he doesn't, he's going to stay. I just want to be consistent. I hate that feeling of, okay, well, you know, like, I'm not getting my hopes up for the next game because, like, last year, hey, we won a game, and the next game we get our butts thrown away. We're 10th in the table. We were 14th. And if we wouldn't have, and you think about it, if we wouldn't have won that game and we would have lost 3 points, we would be in 15th place. I think we'd be ahead of Crystal Palace. I think we'd be. Yeah. I always look at it from both perspectives at times. Like, well, imagine if we would have lost that game, where would we be? I mean, granted, we're in 10th now because we won, but. I mean, it's been a roller coaster, and I think this season again is going to be a roller coaster where we're going to win games. It's not going to be like, you know, I'd rather lose about 4 games in a row and hey, we suck, we're not doing something right, let's fix it, let's complete. Instead of you win one game, then you lose three, then you win 2 games, then you lose two, then you win one game, then you lose three. No, I would. Just up and down, up and down, up and down. Kill him. But we'll have to wait and see. I think he's going to do it's going to be just enough up and down to where we're like 5th or 6th. They'll keep him. Hey, he's not doing too bad. He can still mathematically get in the top 4, you know. And as long as we can mathematically get into the top 4 and keeping the Champions League, if he wants to stay, I think they'll keep him. Because I think Ed Woodward and the board is a type of group of people that are satisfied with they're an Arsenal. Hey, it's a business. As long as we're making money, if we're making $10 million, we're making $10 million. Who cares? I mean, what the heck?
What? Was it that the players were yelling at the owners?
Crystal Palace.
Yeah. Did they change?
They've done some things. At least they're consistent. You know, they're not that great, but they're it's not like you expect a whole bunch out of them. But you don't, you know. Yeah, I know. But you know what you're going to get when you go see them. It's not like, okay, well, are we going to beat this team and then lose this? It's like, okay, how can we lose to Cardiff City when we just beat Chelsea is in second place? We beat Chelsea 4 days ago, and now we got beat by Cardiff City 10-0. We just beat Chelsea, which is, you know, and that's how Manchester United was last year. We would get beat by a team that we should have blown out of the water, and we beat a team that should have been maybe a draw or even a loss. That's why I can't say for certainty what's going to happen game to game because I have no idea because it's like we've been so up and down. Crazy. But that's how this world works. I mean, that's how this team is. I mean, I can't put. It's like you kind of think Jose might have figured something out, and then no, it didn't happen. And you go, wait a minute here, and that's the issue. I mean, I think a lot of people like Zidane and Pochettino are like, well, let's get our butts in there just in case it doesn't go well, and let's see what happens. And I kind of feel like, yeah, I would like to have one of those two, but I think Mourinho is going to do just enough to keep his job, and it's going to be one where I think he's going to have to. But I think one of the issues, too, coming into the January transfer window when it happens is are they going to give him money? Why aren't they letting him spend? You know, if Paul Pogba, you know, what's it going to take for them to spend money? Is he like, well, let me get the team really, really down. Maybe Jose Mourinho wants to try to get the team in, like, 10th place, and hopefully they keep him. And then he goes, okay, well, I can't go any higher with the players I've got. I need other players. I mean, there are about four players that need to go and about four players who need to come in. But he has decent players that if they respect him, they need to go. They could do better than they're doing. I believe that. And that's something that I think needs to happen as we move forward. I think we need to be more successful because we got talent. We got people that know what they're doing. We got the players that can get the job done. They just need to do it. And I don't know if they just have if he's lost the players in the dressing room and they're just kind of like. But then if he's lost the players, I don't think they would have beat Burton. So. But then, I mean, they could have easily won that game 5-0. You know, so, I mean, and it's one of those that if they should have, if they could have easily won that game, if they could have easily won that game by the margin that they could have, then they should have. Or, you know, it just makes me wonder, well, that's a pretty much guaranteed win, then we need to be concerned about games that aren't guaranteed wins. Because if it's a guaranteed win, then you should win by more than that, but. I think I'm not that way per se, but there's probably a lot of people that are so used to, yep, we're going to win today. It's just not a matter of if we win, but by how much. And now it's every game is, well, we could win, we could lose, we should win. Like, okay, this is a team that we should blow out of the water, and we're not really getting too excited because, well, we may not just blow them out of the water. So who knows? I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program and I hope you feel a part of, folks. And just make sure, get out there and do something. Be productive. Be productive in a good way, not a bad way. And with the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and a sacred honor. Till this Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.